everyone. It's Amber Love of the Vodka O'Clock Podcast. And from AmberOnMask.com, today my special guest is Kimberly Benson from the fashion company Heretic City. Kimberly, welcome so much to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So I met you probably about a year and a half or more ago at a comic convention, and your product line struck my fancy because I was immediately captivated by the imagery. Your booth was beautiful, and then the t-shirts themselves really caught my attention. So I've just been keeping tabs through Facebook and Twitter and everything, seeing how much the company's grown and how great you're doing.
So can you remind me which Comic-Con we met at?
I think it was actually a Baltimore Con, which I didn't go to last year, so it would have been the year before.
I think it may have, possibly, I can't remember the exact date, but that sounds, we were definitely at Baltimore pretty recently, so that sounds about right.
Yeah.
So since then, actually, we're sort of in a very different, we have a very different product now than when we started. And I think, as with anybody who starts a company, you know, you have these ideas and you make this first product, and, you know, it's not until you really test it in front of your audience that you understand the difference between your idea that you thought was fantastic and what people actually want.
Right.
So we've sort of gone through that evolution, and I feel like we've finally are at a point where we have not that people didn't like our first product line, but we're finally at a point where we have a product line that many people enjoy. So,
right. So let's, tell us some of the history then of what Heretic City is. Like, what is it? When did you come up with it?
So,
this great, now it's more than just you at this point with the company?
So we initially started, we launched in October of 2009, and the initial idea was, it was more of a sort of conceptual storyline, plot line in my head, and I feel like so many people are in love with love in all of the chaos and madness and tragedy and heartbreak that sort of come along with this. And I particularly love to revel in these things. So sort of taking both my own experience and, you know, sort of glamorizing and these ideas to an extreme, we came up with t-shirts that told stories. Our original line of t-shirts were printed on your chest and your back. They had text on them and images and were very detailed and very, very much a comic book style.
Right. And but Heretic City itself, obviously that's the name of the brand, and because of the imagery which you have cityscapes and you have people in alleyways and stuff, it really feels like a place that one would read about in a comic book, like Gotham City or Los Angeles or something. So was it based on a particular city?
We didn't. It's, as far as the imagery and the city backgrounds that we used for the shirts, we tried not to use any specific city or landmarks so that it could be anywhere. It could be anybody's city. It wasn't that, you know, you looked at it and it was New York or LA or Chicago. You know, we wanted it to be able to be anybody's city anywhere. So we just wanted to give that gritty urban feel. So we went with very city urban images for our backgrounds.
Okay, I think it works pretty well because, you know, it like you said, it could be anywhere. It could be Philadelphia, and that the city alone is a character, and then you've got male and female characters on the shirts, and then you've got the newer line of shirts that are have just the pistols or just the birds. You know, there's sort of enough of a variety where there's something for everyone.
Yeah. So what we did was our first line again was, you know, the very detailed shirts, and as we went to shows and Comic Cons, we got feedback about which designs people liked best, which elements they liked best, and we took all those little pieces that people liked, and instead of the front and back and all of the detail, we sort of simplified the maintaining the same edginess and sort of the same sentiment and feelings, but just simplified the designs.
And now when you're coming up with a new design, I noticed one of the things that you do is you put them up on Facebook and Twitter, and you ask for people's opinions, and you say, okay, which do you like better, you know, the green one or the red one, or, you know, the guns over here or the guns over here, and you let people vote. So how much weight goes into the online voting like that?
We definitely, it's really great for us to get that feedback, because we're getting that feedback directly from our customers. So it definitely helps us shape, you know, whether we're going to maybe pick one style or pick a color, or, you know, we come up with basically the same design in two slightly different ways, and then people vote. You know, and if it's unanimous in one direction, then we run that design. So it definitely, our you know, our customers, our followers, and our fans, you know, their opinion counts.
Now, are you doing the graphic design, or do you have a staff of people that are doing it?
So I do all of the conceptual designing. I come up with, like, for the first line of stuff, I wrote all of the stories, and I actually can't draw myself. So mm-hmm. What I do is I come up with the idea, I sort of sketch it out with my best stick figures possible, and then I collect references of maybe this style of gun or this style of bird, and then I work with an illustrator, and they basically take my stick figure and my references and draw together the image that I ask them to.
I think it's great, because it feels like there's definitely a person who puts heart and soul into these designs, as opposed to some generic company slapping a logo on a shirt. You know, like, you know, I'm in New Jersey here, and it's just like filled with Ed Hardy tees, and they're just so impersonal, and there's nothing about them that's interesting. And yet these I'm so drawn to, because I feel like there's so much personality into them.
Yeah, and that's really important to us. We hire artists to do this, and every piece we have is original artwork. It's not copied and pasted or just some ironical T-shirt with a, you know, some vector that you just grabbed somewhere and slapped it on a shirt.
Right.
So we definitely don't do that. You know, we want to maintain, you know, our original artwork style.
And how often do you come out with new designs? Do you have a particular schedule, like, oh, we need to do, like, two per quarter, or do you just take it as the ideas come?
Because we're so small, we really have the freedom to just sort of do it as the ideas come. I generally try to do a spring-summer release and then a fall-winter release, so twice a year usually is when we do a couple new designs for men and women.
Okay. Do you have a favorite so far?
I would say, based on all of our new designs, we've been to a couple of shows recently with all of our new designs, and the men's, well, I'd say for both men and women, the I Fucking Love You t-shirt that we just ran.
Yeah.
People cannot get enough of that. We sell through those at every show.
And is that the one that I saw, you said Andrew Dice Clay bought?
Yes. The last show we were at, Andrew Dice Clay bought an I Fucking Love You t-shirt from us. So it's that grabs people's attention and ropes them in, and then they start looking at all of our other stuff. And for our ladies, I would say it's the Heartbreak and Madness t-shirt and the one with the bright pink lips and the bullet in the mouth. Those two are our most popular lady shirts.
Okay, yeah. I just, one of our contributors here at Amber Unmasked, Ashley, just bought the lips with the bullet. And It's a very flattering shirt.
Yeah, and we make sure all of our shirts, all of our lady shirts are, you know, a super soft burnout material, and they're ladies cut shirts. So what you find sometimes when you go to, like, Comic Cons and stuff is everything's unisex. So it's just a big, baggy men's shirt. And we have very feminine, very, like, we have bright colors and, yeah, and they're just super fun for spring, summer. They're super bright and super soft.
That was one of the things that I absolutely loved the most was when I saw not only did you have great crime noir style graphics, but then you actually had female cuts for a curvaceous body, and they fit and they're comfortable.
Yeah, you know, it's always disappointing when you see like a super badass shirt and you're like, oh, this is a men's shirt, and then you have to, you know, just wear it all baggy or whatever. So
Now, when it comes to having the men's line and the women's line, are all of the graphics available in either size?
No. We actually have, like, all of our ladies' designs you can only purchase on ladies' shirts, so men wouldn't be able to buy them. However, obviously, the women can buy the men's shirts if they wanted a men's design.
Sure. Okay. And you've got far more colors than when you originally started, as you were saying. You've got, like, pale greens now, and you've got the aqua blue, and, you know, when you originally started, you only had a couple, correct?
Yeah, when we originally started, all the graphics on the shirts were just black, white, and red, and we primarily just had white T-shirts. But now that we've come up with a line of, you know, much more colorful graphics. You know, we learned a lot with our first product line about, you know, what color, you know, a lot of men don't want to buy a white shirt because they don't want to get it dirty. So this time around with all of our new designs, we made one white shirt, you know, and the rest of them are sort of, you know, dark, muted colors that men generally wear. And they, you know, that works a lot better than having white shirts.
Did you have any trouble as a designer trying to preserve the same mood when you introduced the color shirts?
I don't think so. I think our new line, it's still very dark and it's still very gritty. Even though our women's shirts are very bright, but our men's shirts still, you know, they're still dark grays and olive greens and, you know, navy blues. So they're still very masculine, dark colors, and the images still, you know, they're still, all the birds are red birds. So we've maintained that consistent design element of having, you know, red birds on every shirt.
I think that's it's a beautiful, eye-catching type of style that way. And you've still got, it's as if you went through and spot-colored a film noir. I'm trying to think of which films have done that, but I know there was, it's depressing, but I think like Schindler's List had like spot color, like it was black and white, but then there was like this, you know, tragic splash of red or something like that, and that's what they reminded me of, how there's, you know, the color design might still be a lot of heavy black, but like the lips are red and the bullet is brass. I think it comes through.
Yeah, certainly for our men's designs, most of the designs on the shirt are still all heavy blacks and grays with the bright red birds. Our ladies' designs are a bit more colorful. We do have some brighter pinks and blues and reds, and so our ladies' designs are a little bit more colorful and vivid, but our men's designs still maintain that very dark feeling with the, you know, splash of bright red on it.
Now, do the sizes, do people find that they generally run differently? Because your men's are more like an athletic cut.
Yeah, right? We do. We actually, our men's stuff, it's definitely more of a slim fit. Same thing for our ladies. All of our tees are just a slimmer fitting tee instead of a lot of times the shirts that are printed on aren't very high quality, or they're sort of large, you know, really wide baggy shirts, and we wanted something a little sleeker, so we went with a more slim athletic cut.
Okay, and that's, so if somebody, they don't have to worry about planning for the shirts to shrink.
Yeah, no, they're true to size. Order what size you are, and you know that works pretty well for most people.
Okay, and something that I was asked was that in the photo galleries that you have, the order pages, not the actual customer galleries, but you've got this amazing necklace that one of their female models is wearing. It's got, like, it looks like a .22 caliber rifle bullet and this heart on this complicated necklace. Is that part of your line at some point? Or?
That actually, I found that at a show. I was at an independent designer show, and I walked by this booth, and I saw that necklace, and I got talking to the woman behind the booth, and she said something about urban love tragedy when she was describing her necklace. And I said, that's the line I use. And it turns out we both live in Boston. And she she had previously bought one of my shirts at a different market. So it just happened to be a complete coincidence. I saw it, I had to have it. So it is her design. But, you know, it went so well with what I do that we threw it on our model for our website.
Yeah, it's absolutely perfect. And you do have some accessories, though. Do you want to talk about them and explain what they are?
We do, actually. Again, this was another collaboration with an independent designer that when we were doing shows in New York, the company is called Records by Monkey. And what they are is they're bands and cuffs, and they're unisex. And it's a recycled vinyl record. And they screen print them with whatever design you want, and we chose our iconic cityscape, and then they heat and shape it into a cuff. So they're recycled vinyl record bracelets.
And are those, they're available on the website as well, right?
Yep. Everything, all of our products are available online, and you can buy everything on our website.
Okay. So when it comes to all of this wonderful, yet tragic noir imagery, where did the influence come from? Did you just, you know, grow up as sort of like a film buff, or was it one particular book that you read? Where did all of this start?
I think a lot of the ideas were sort of from experience, just sort of the way I
you keep getting your heart broken.
No, but it's I've never had my heart broken too badly, but I feel like I feel things deeper and more passionately than other people, and I sort of indulge myself in allowing to be I guess crazy in that way, and just sort of take things to the nth degree, and sometimes slightly out of control. And I think most people, you know, there's this quiet desperation for this feeling, for that, you know, that intensity, that desire, that level of love that just, like, it's going to break you, you know, and trying to illustrate that and capture that, you know. And when people see our products, you know, it's because they want a piece of that.
Do they come to you with stories at all and say, oh, this reminds me of what I went through?
Yeah, we have people, you know, people walk up to our booth and they point at a shirt and they start talking to each other about your boyfriend or this ex, or this would be perfect for my ex-girlfriend, you know. So it definitely makes people, like, think about, you know, and recount their love tragedies and love stories, and so it definitely evokes that type of dialogue.
And how does the reception differ from male customers to female customers?
I find that it depends. It depends the show or event that we're at. When we do tattoo conventions, generally the women at tattoo conventions are super badass women,
Yeah.
And they just eat our stuff up. I would say we probably sell more women's apparel at tattoo conventions than men's apparel. And then when we go to Comic-Cons, again, just because of the demographics, again, Comic-Cons are mostly men, I feel, attending the shows.
Yeah.
So we do end up with, you know, selling more men's products at Comic-Cons than we do women's products. But again, just the women, the men and women at these shows are very different. So different products and you know, male-female stuff sells basically varying on the show.
Okay, and now, so you tackle those two different types of conventions. Do you also go to, like, fashion shows or trunk shows or anything in the fashion world?
Yep, we do independent designer shows. We just did a music festival last weekend. We did Bamboozle in New Jersey. So we do also, I guess, regular shows, you know, that aren't so specified, that have a more broad focus of just, you know, music or fashion or whatever. And they sell well across the board there. But I think with the more focused demographic, tattoo cons and Comic Cons, we sell best at.
Okay. And do you, let's, you know, as far as like sales go, right after a convention, do you find spikes in the online hits as well?
We do find spikes in traffic to our website, but we don't get too many people purchasing stuff from our website. Most of our sales at this point, because we're so new and not many people know who we are, most of our sales are when we're physically at the shows, and then we get a couple of sales after the show on our website. But
okay, and one of the things that I think benefits buying directly from the booth is you have sales, you have specials that you don't get necessarily on the website, but that you can see them, you can feel them. They're so soft, they're so incredibly comfortable. So you know, as a consumer, when I see a booth like that, it's just such a tactile experience, and you know, that might be what you get as well.
Yeah, and we find that, you know, that's the kind of shopper that I am, is once I've seen a company and I know that they have a good product and I know my size in their product, then I feel comfortable buying something from them online. But I won't generally buy things online unless I've seen it first. So generally we get sort of repeat customers, people who have bought stuff at our booth, then they're like, oh, well, I didn't grab this shirt or I didn't grab that shirt, and then they go online and they buy it. So it's sort of that, you know, having that familiarity first.
When it came to picking out the actual fabric and, you know, and materials, did you have background knowledge in that, or was that something that you turned to somebody else to get help with?
My background is not in fashion design or business for that matter. So it was a lot of just doing and learning. What I did was I just ordered a bunch of samples across all different companies, got them in, tried them on myself, see, you know, decided what I liked best. And then from there, as far as once we decided on a company for our shirts, you know, and then as far as the colors, just, you know, asking friends, asking our fans online and putting things up and seeing what people like best, and then making designs from there.
I think that's, you know, it's great, instead of just assuming that, you know, it's going to have the same quality as something else. And as you said, there's such a variety when you go to a Comic-Con or whatever, when there's a t-shirt vendor and you go down the aisle and there's another t-shirt vendor and you go down the, and they might have the exact same pictures on them, and yet somehow wherever they came from, it's not necessarily the same shirt. And I think that's strange, because I know, like, Walmarts carry the same, you know, have Marvel shirts different than, you know, than a comic convention will have Marvel shirts. It's very strange that the whole t-shirt world, because the sizes are not the same and the fabrics are not the same.
Yeah, they're all coming from different places and countries and factories, so that consistency isn't going to be there, you know. And we're so small that, you know, we make small runs, so all of our shirts are coming from the same place, and we can, you know, we can maintain that size and quality control. So
how big is the company now? How many full-time people do you have?
It's still just myself.
Okay.
So I pretty much still just do everything.
So when you're planning for a show, it's going to be you at the show.
Yes. Yep. So, and basically what I do is I contract for all of our other stuff. So I come up with all of the designs. Then we work with an illustrator to actually get the final design. Then we have a company that makes everything. They ship it back to us. And then I do all of the sales and distributing and marketing and all of our shows. So I have, a couple of people that I contract with. And then also a photographer, a web designer. So that's how I'm currently doing it.
And you're located in Boston. Did you go to school up there?
I'm originally from New Jersey. I did do my undergrad out in Amherst, and then went to graduate school in Baltimore, and then moved back to Boston.
Okay, so that's why we connect so well, I see. It's the Jersey thing.
Yes, yes, yes. I am a Jersey girl, for sure.
That's great. And, so we love to see you at our local shows. You said you did a show in Jersey, and you're going to be in Philadelphia in just, like, another day or so. And now, have you done the Wizard World Philly show before?
I have not. This is our first time, and I'm super excited. So apparently their show is 3 times bigger this year than it was last year. So we got a fantastic booth space. So I'm very excited.
Okay, great. Yeah, because if it's grown that much, then that means they're going to probably rearrange how the entire layout was done last year. And I almost like didn't venture out at all. I stayed in the artist alley area, but knowing that you were going to be there, it was like, okay, well, now I have to make sure that I make my proper rounds throughout the entire floor until I find the Heretic City booth. but Philly's a fun show. I think you'll have a great time.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm super, super excited, and hopefully it's fantastic, and if so, we'll definitely be back the following year.
Do you go to any of the gatherings and after parties and stuff when you're done, or are you just wiped out and you go back to your room and pass out?
Yeah, I generally, since I work the whole show by myself all weekend, I generally just after, I just go home, eat dinner, sleep, and then come back the next morning. So, unfortunately, yeah. I don't get to attend most of the after parties or all of the ongoings.
Oh, well, you miss out on a lot, but we need you well rested for this show.
maybe I'll venture out one of these evenings.
Okay. So after Wizard World Philly, what sort of schedule do you have on your calendar so far?
I actually have my calendar right in front of me here. So we have a couple local events in Boston that we're doing, local independent designer shows. There's a show called Artbeat that we're doing. There's a first show ever. It's this Boston Tea Party. So again, this is more of a fashion related than comic related. It's all local independent tea brands. We're doing that in August. We're doing Comic-Con in Connecticut in August. We'll probably be at the New York City Comic-Con this coming fall. And then a couple other tattoo shows and other shows throughout that time.
The New York show is huge. It is unbelievably massive. You know?
Last year was our first time at the New York show, and it was just daunting. I had no idea the epic scale of the New York show.
Yeah, the Javits Center is just a behemoth.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. I'll be way better prepared for this year.
Okay. Well, trust me, I'm sure once, you know, if people have somehow not seen your booth yet, I'm sure after, you know, after they hear this and they keep their eyes out for you, you'll have like all of the men that have fallen in love with you in 10 seconds. They'll just be offering to, you know, to help you with your booth.
I hope so. And buy some shirts.
Buy some shirts. Buy and help carry all of those heavy things. That gun display that you have is pretty magnificent. Was that something that you designed?
I got fantastically lucky, and a friend of mine, he makes signs for his business. He's a sign making company, and he took my card, and I mean, I would have never conceptually come up with the type of mobile design that he came up with. And he fabricated it for me, and it's definitely an attention getter, I would have to say. A lot of people come over and stop at our booth, you know, gets their attention, and they want to take a picture next to the gun, and then they're like, oh, what's this? So, you know, when you're on a convention hall, and it's just like one booth after the next, and there's nothing that really distinguishes one from the other, you know, we have these bright red birds that are just hanging out over the aisle, and they move, so it just, you know, it attracts attention. So it's a beautiful display, and it does what it's supposed to do and gets people to come over and check it out.
And you travel with that? I'm hoping it breaks down for you.
Yes. Before it was fabricated, I was asked what kind of car I drove, and they made it in several pieces, so it fits into a compact car. So yes, it breaks down into many small pieces.
It's beautiful. It's definitely beautiful.
Thank you.
And so then, you know, then you can branch out into, like, the Noir Baby line and start selling little gun and red bird mobiles.
I'm not sure how many parents would be interested in that.
Noir babies.
Maybe just the red birds. I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm not sure about the giant revolver over your baby's crib.
There's strange things. There are so many strange things out there. Okay, so we covered your calendar and a little bit of your history. What sort of things are you looking forward to? Do you get any time to yourself to actually just enjoy life?
I do. I'm very, very lucky that doing this, I have a very flexible schedule that most people don't have. You know, I work when I need to work, and when I don't, you know, it may be when everybody has to be at work on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon, you know, I can go to the beach, and I don't have to be there with crowds. And so while I don't have the same schedule as most people, and they go out on weekends, and I'm working on weekends, I have a pretty great life, and I get to wake up every day and do what I love. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So since you didn't plan on this, what did you think, you know, when you were back and, you know, just, you know, considering college and all of those things, what did you think that you were going to be doing?
My technical background is in audiology. I was in a doctoral program for audiology and not loving what I was doing at all. I was actually quite unhappy. So I ended up withdrawing from grad school and sort of took time off and was just sort of searching for something that I loved, something that, you know, was me. And most people don't get that opportunity. And I'm so glad that I took that opportunity. And I just sort of started thinking about things I love and what I wanted to be doing with my life and what kind of lifestyle I wanted to have. And here I am.
And here you are, this, you know, independent businesswoman, and things are growing. So that's a fantastic sign.
Yeah, it's for us, you know, it's kind of doing something like this in our current economy is slightly daunting. People don't need T-shirts to live, so you know we're selling a luxury item. So it's definitely a scary time to be starting something like this. But I feel like we've laid down a really good foundation for, you know, when things do get a little bit better and people are looking for more luxury things.
Yeah, I can. I think we all understand that too, because that's how, just in the arts community in general, we always feel like nobody wants to live without art of some sort. But yet at the same time, you know, it's not food, water, and shelter. It's, you know, but yet, so you try to justify your expenses for it, whether it's comics or movies or you know, paintings, whatever it is. It's just, it's so hard to make that decision, but yet if it's something that truly gives you pleasure, then you do what you can and you enjoy as little of it as, you know, to get your fill when it's tough like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I even, my own shopping habits now are quite different than they were, you know, 5 years ago, especially with me wanting to put all of my resources into Heretic City. So, I mean, I'm even a more conscious consumer than probably most of the people standing at my table. So I completely understand the, you know, do I buy two t-shirts or do I be responsible and pay my cell phone bill? You know, so I completely understand the dilemma.
So then, okay, so if you switched from med school to being this wonderful fashion designer, what's your goal for 5 years from now?
I would still love to be doing Heretic City. I mean, my plans for a more expansive line and being able to do more things with it and just sort of branch out in general as far as being able to make, like, short films and, you know, sort of a greater platform. You know, we had looked into making a short film for it, but just the cost of that was too great, and we decided to put that on hold. But I would love for it to be something more encompassing and something bigger and something, you know, something more broad that spans sort of different media outlets.
I think that's a great plan. And then you can have the graphic novel accompanying the film and the, you know, the new accessories and have your own bullet necklaces. And
yes. This is the plan. We have people who come up to our booth and they're like, oh, you know, you should do snapbacks and you should do polos and you should do, but, you know, and we want to do those. We want to do all of those things and more, but the cost to do these things, and especially if you're not doing them in China, you know, at thousands of pieces for your minimums, it's super, super expensive to do all of these things. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to build a base of fans and a solid, cohesive product line, you know, that represents our brands, and just, you know, and just keep it small. Just keep it really, you know, really solid and focused, and, you know, and until we, you know, have the resources to sort of expand more.
Well, I think you've managed, and I mean, I hope you're making, you know, the enough of a profit to, like you said, to make that expansion happen, because, you know, the t-shirts are generally around $25, and that's a perfectly normal average price of a t-shirt that you're not getting off of some discount shelf. However you make those decisions and still get the quantity that you need, I think has been a remarkable, at least from the consumer side, I think that's been a remarkable accomplishment. And hopefully it's not, like, you know, causing you too much anxiety when it comes to setting your prices.
There's definitely anxiety. It's, you know, it's not, you know, it's definitely at this stage, you know, it's sort of about being for, you know, for it to be able to sustain itself at this point, which is what it's finally gotten to a point where it is sustaining itself. But yeah, no, it's, you know, there's, it's not just, you know, you have to factor in the cost of, you know, shows and traveling and marketing and, you know, artists and web developers and photographers. You know, you have to get, you know, put these products online, and, you know, we don't want to just, you know, throw the shirts on a table and, you know, have crappy photos. So all of those things are, you know, we sort of have to factor in, but it's definitely starting to balance out now and to be something that's sustainable instead of just hemorrhaging money.
Well, that's great. That's, you know, it's certainly good for the fans that you have to hear that you'll be around.
Yes, we're not going anywhere. We are moving forward.
What advice do you have for, you know, somebody else that thinks that they have any kind of idea, whether, you know, whether it's a fashion or whether it's a movie or something like that? Do you, now that you've got all of this business experience and you've followed something that makes you happy, what advice do you have for other people?
I would say that if you have found something that you loved, all you can do is do it. You know, people talk about their ideas and they talk about this or I want that. And my greatest fear in doing all of this was failure, was that I was going to put all of my ideas and my heart and my resources and my energy into this thing, and I was going to make this thing, and then I would fail and nobody would want it. And the only way that you can really find that out is to just do it, you know. And I think, you know, if you think you have a great product or a great idea, you know, you just start small. Don't go out and, you know, spend $10 million on an untested product, you know. And that's what we did. We started small. We tested our product in front of our market. You know, we're able to get feedback and then change our product. So, you know, go out, do it, start small, test it, and then go from there.
Okay. Well, that's great. I think it's advice from the heart, and I think your products, like you know, we've said, are definitely products from the heart. There's so much care into them. Did you have anything that you wanted to add before we let you go?
I think we pretty much covered everything. If you follow us on Facebook, it's just Facebook/Heretic City. We're always posting new designs and shows we're going to be at. Our website is hereticcity.com. You can buy all of our shirts there. And on Twitter, we're just /Heretic City.
That's great. Kimberly, thank you so much for all of your time, and I can't wait to see you in Philly.
Awesome. I can't wait to see you as well, so make sure you find us.
I will. All right. Well, everybody, you've been listening to Kimberly Benson from Heretic City. Thanks for listening to this episode of Vodka O'Clock Podcast. You can follow me at Elizabeth Amber on Twitter. And, of course, check out all of the great content on amberunmasked.com.